Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. We bless your name this morning. We thank you. As always, we stand in the word of the Lord to deliver this message and instruction of life. We ask that the entrance of your word today will bring the light that is promised and give understanding to our hearts. Give you, Lord, all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. So today, this was not in the original list, but it's a good one to add. I will be doing pride and arrogance. That's right. Pride and arrogance. So many verses in the Bible about that. And on the other hand, we got humility and lowliness. So that's going to be our subject today. Praise the Lord. So let's talk about it. Many verses of scripture that we want to go through, from the Old Testament to the New. We see what God says to call out pride and arrogance. We will also see how he commands us into humility and lowliness. And we will see the blessings of humility and lowliness. We will see the danger of pride and arrogance. Let's start here. There are many scriptures. I've got several here. I don't know how many of it we can actually cover today, but we'll see. We'll try and see how far we get. Praise the Lord. Pride. Well, before we even get into the scriptures, let's talk about it from a human point of view. What is pride and what is arrogance? Then we look at it from the scriptures, the viewpoint of the scriptures, pride and arrogance. Well, so there are many definitions, even in the dictionary, of what pride might be. One says, feeling of satisfaction and pleasure, deep pleasure, derived from one's own achievements. So we saw the other day the story of, Nebuchadnezzar. We see how he wouldn't give glory to God, but he ascribed all the glory to himself. He thought he was the one that achieved all those things just by himself. And we see also, arrogance. Pride can be in the heart sometimes, but arrogance, my goodness, that's usually demonstrated even in the open. We can see that, a person, that is arrogant, they would, appear in their behavior. It's the same thing of being proud in their ways, but when they are arrogant, on top of that, it's like it shows through in the sense that they look down on others, think that they're better than others. One definition says it's an offensive display of superiority or self-importance. You can also call it overbearing pride. But the aspect of the arrogance is, one I want to bring out is the relationship to others. The arrogant person things in their heart that they are better than others, and their attitude reflects that as well. Now, someone can be proud in heart. And then there's also different kinds of pride, many that are subtle, even spiritual pride. It's a dangerous place to be. So we'll try to cover all these aspects. And before we get to Adam's sin of disobedience, there was another one even before that. You say something happened before Adam? Well, yeah. That was Lucifer. Lucifer's sin was way before Adam, and his was one of pride. See, when he saw his position and how God had given him, I mean, he was exalted. It was the cherub that covered, you know, so maybe right around the throne and everything. He had all kinds of things in him. He had music. He had beauty. He had brilliance. He had everything going for him. And he began to think within his heart that, well, gee, I'm not just going to be over here. You know, I'm going to ascend. And I will ascend and be like the Most High. And different things like that. So let's start at Lucifer. See what he thought within his heart. Isaiah 14 and verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thy heart. See, that's where it starts. That's where pride starts. It's in the heart. I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation and on the sides of the north. Look at all the I, you know, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. In fact, he always been a usurper, you know, all along. He wasn't satisfied with where God put him, you know. He wanted to promote himself, self-promotion, beyond what God had ordained. And the moment he thought that in his heart, you know, I will be like the Most High, that's where, you know, he made his first mistake. You know, can't go up against the Most High like that. Anything that God made us to be or has given us, gave to us for his own pleasure. We serve. You hear people say, well, we serve at the pleasure of the president or this and that. You know, we serve at the pleasure of the Lord. And anything that it is that we have, you know, it's all for his glory. And the moment we forget that, like Lucifer did, well, the Lord said, you will be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. You can read that in Isaiah chapter 14, verses 12 through 15. So we see that, in fact, in God's realm of creation, the very first sin was pride. You know, because that pride entered into the devil's heart. It was called Lucifer at first, you know. So that's why it's good for us to take a look and see and be sure and make sure that we don't get pride into our hearts. I mean, this man was not, well, wasn't a man. Lucifer was not content to be where God put him. He wanted more, but instead of asking God for more, see, nothing wrong if you want more of anything, as long as you ask the Lord as the source of all things, you know, but if you go about it trying to, you know, put yourself into things and places where God didn't put you, because of pride. It's thinking that you're better than you should be or that you are. Let's read another angle, you know, here in Ezekiel chapter 28, revealing the state of, you know, Lucifer, even before Adam. And that tells us that, you know, this pride thing is very, very dangerous. Now, here's what it says. Thou hast been in the garden of God, even Eden. Every precious stone was thy covering. Well, that's Ezekiel 12 and verse 13. The sardius, the topaz, and the diamond, and the beryl, and the onyx, and the jasper, and the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, the gold, and so forth. Workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pots. He had music inside of him, and he was a thing of beauty, you know, in the day that I was created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. And I have set thee so. Now, the Lord set him so. You know, don't you forget it, Lucifer. It was God. You didn't get there by yourself, but he forgot it. You know, he said, look, that was upon the holy mount of God, and thou hast walked up and down the midst of the stones of fire. Thou was perfect in thy ways from the day that thou was created until iniquity was found in you. You know, although, you know, God already knew about all that. That's the thing that Lucifer didn't know. You know, he didn't realize and he didn't know that God knew everything in advance. You know, and iniquity was found in him. The iniquity that was found in him was pride. We read it already in Isaiah. And he said, thine heart, see, thine heart was lifted up, say, by the multitude of thy merchandise that has filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore, I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Now, thy heart was lifted up because of thy beauty, and thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. That's right. And I will lay thee before kings. And Jesus said, you know, in Luke chapter 10 and verse 18, he said, I beheld Satan fall like lightning. That's right. You know, that's what the Lord, you know, said he was going to do, and he did it too. I'll cast thee to the ground. You know, so that's where sin began, with pride in the heart of Lucifer. Now let's turn to, you know, our own realm and see how dangerous this thing can be. There are many people that were cautious about pride and arrogance, you know, and others, they were not so cautious. They just went through and did anything without thinking, you know. So I'm just going to read to us some of these scriptures, the warnings that God gave concerning pride, the stories in the Bible about pride and arrogance, and then the blessings of humility and lowliness. You know, if we can do things right, the way that the Lord wants it, what are the benefits? Praise the Lord. You know, so, you know, let's read through some of these things and see what, you know, the Lord has already said in the scriptures. Now, remember, the scriptures are given to us for instruction. Instruction in righteousness. And when the Lord instructs us, it's not for us to just, read it, hear it, and then move on. And say, you know, that was really good. But then what? You know? So we've got to meditate upon these things and see what the Lord is telling us. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 5. Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though hand join in hand, he shall not be unpunished. So that's a, you know, a good one to start with. Keep that in the back of our hand, our minds as we read through these scriptures. Everyone, that's where it starts, really. You know, it starts in the heart, and then it comes out, to outside, a proud look, finally, that's a proud posture. When you carry yourself, as though you're better than everyone else and, despise others. It becomes a proud look. And these are the things that which God hates. And we're going to be reading about it. Hannah, when she was praying, she recognized that, look, the pride of heart cannot get anyone anywhere. And she said, talk no more so exceeding proudly. 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 3. Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth. For the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. So arrogancy can even come out of the mouth as well. The way we talk down on people, that can be an indication of arrogancy. Scriptures have many things to say about this. Let's read through some of them quickly. Praise the Lord. Let's read Psalm 10. I'm going to read verses 4 and 17. In the book of Psalms, there's a few places where it talks about pride and arrogancy. The book of Proverbs talks about it a lot. I'm going to read through several of them. So let's take a look at the book of Psalms. Let's look at Psalm 10 and see what the psalmist said about it. I start here in verse 4. The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in his thoughts. Now, so we see how this one is calling out pride, even in the heart, that makes people to, rather than seek after God, do things in their own ways. Now, that's pride right there. He also talks about, on the other hand, what the Lord will do for the humble, though. Here is verse 17 of the same Psalms 10. Lord, thou hast heard the desire of the humble. Or we can say the Lord will hear the desire of the humble, and will prepare their heart, and you will cause your ear to hear the desire and the prayer of the humble. So as we read through this, we're going to see some contrasts. Pride and arrogance on one hand, humility and lowliness on the other hand. Many scriptures, Psalm 25 and verse 9. Let's read Psalm 25 and verse 9. Wait a minute. Where am I? This thing is jumping around here. Okay. Psalm 25, verse 9. The meek will the Lord guide in judgment. Now, meek here is the same as lowly. So where we see meek or meekness, meek is the humble, meekness, same thing as lowliness. The meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. So we're seeing some benefits here. I'm mixing this up. calling out the evil of pride and arrogance, and at the same time bringing out the blessings of humility. Humility will lead us to being guided by the Lord and being taught His way, is what this scripture says. So there's blessing there as well. Psalm 138 and verse 6. Psalm 138 and verse 6. Pull that up here. Again, it says, though the Lord be high, yet hath he respect unto the lowly, but the proud he knoweth afar off. Again, the scripture giving us a contrast to how God looks at the prideful in heart and how he looks at those who are lowly in heart. You know, so the proud he knows afar off, but those that are lowly, he will have respect unto them. That means he will actually look up to them, he will listen, he will give them the time of day, they will get his attention. But the one that is proud in heart, no, he will have them afar off. You know, so, let's pay attention to these things as we go through. Now, let's go to the book of Proverbs. That's the main place where all these things really are, you know, because the book of Proverbs calls out a lot of things about pride and arrogance and humility and so forth. I'm reading through some of them very quickly. Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 3. It says, Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, and arrogancy, and the evil way. So when we have the fear of the Lord in our hearts, we will hate evil, we will hate pride, we will hate arrogancy, we will hate the evil way. The forward mouth also, you know, that's a mouth that just speak anything anyhow without even thinking. And lash out at people, lash out at situations, and so forth. It's called the forward mouth. The Lord says, the forward mouth do I hate. If your mouth is forward, you just like to lash out and say things anyhow. Be careful now, because the Lord says, I hate that behavior. Now, Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 2. Proverbs 11 and verse 2. When pride cometh, then cometh shame, but with the lowly is wisdom. Again, see the contrast between pride and lowliness. The pride of heart and those who are proud will eventually lead to their shame, Bible says here. But those who are lowly, they will be able to direct their affairs with wisdom. Because they will be easy to entreat. They will be peaceable. And they will, you know, learn from the Lord. And so that's another contrast between pride and arrogance. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 10. Proverbs 13 and 10. Like I said, many verses in this book of Proverbs. Only by pride cometh contention. In other words, you know, contention is at least, you know, with it, you know, two parties, you know, but it's pride that's behind it, is what he's saying. You know, if they're humble, there'll be no contention because one will give way to the other. But pride will not give way. He's arrogant, you know, he's stubborn and so forth. It will not give way to anything. And that's what leads to contention, the scripture says. You know, so these are some of the vices of pride. Proverbs chapter, we read Proverbs 16 already. Proverbs 16 verse 18 is the one we read earlier. It talks about you know, even how the Lord would respond to pride. You know, he responds to pride. He said, look, you know, doesn't matter, you know, how the hand joins in hand, they will still be, you know, unpunished. We read that before. But let's read this Proverbs 16. I'm going to read verses 5 and 18. Proverbs 16 and 5. Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though hand joining hand, he shall not be unpunished. We read that before. Now let's read verses 18 and 19. Pride goeth before destruction, and an haughty spirit before a fall. When I was very young, I don't know, 6, 7, 8 years old, very, very young, we learned this. I learned this scripture. Even I was in grade school, called it primary school, you know, at that time. And there were some lessons they used to teach us, you know, and with this verse, pride goes before destruction and an haughty spirit before a fall. In other words, you know, before someone will fall headlong, pride already took a hold of their hearts, and the haughtiness, which is arrogancy, already took a hold of them, you know. So those things will lead to destruction, and it will lead to a fall. You know, there was a lady one time told me, she said, I used to be a millionaire, and I was on top of the world. But said, through pride, I lost everything. I didn't ask her for the details, but this lady came to our church in the early days, and she, you know, one day she was talking to me and just telling me this thing, that how that through pride she lost everything. And I said, wow. You know, so pride can bring, you know, destruction, can bring a fall, can bring severe losses. We saw it in the story of Nebuchadnezzar. You know, the pride of his heart led him to lose out for 7 years. And God was just using it to teach us a lesson. It was a lesson that God wanted to teach, and he taught it very well in the story of that Nebuchadnezzar, which I am sure, you know, all of us know. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 12. Before destruction, the heart of man is haughty, and before honor is humility. You know, again, you know, this is arrogancy versus humility. In order for you to get honor, we are told humility is a predecessor to that. On the other hand, haughtiness, pride, and arrogancy is a predecessor to destruction, you know, and falling headlong. So these are words of wisdom from the scriptures. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 4. I'm going through this book of Proverbs. There's many verses on pride and arrogance. Proverbs 22 and verse 4. By humility. Now this is again the blessing on the, you know, we're calling out both ways, the punishment, the negative rewards for for arrogancy and pride, and the positive blessings that come from humility and lowliness. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. That's right. Those things come through humility and the fear of the Lord. Riches, honor, and life. But, you know, the person that is froward with their mouth, he said, thorns and snares and the way of the froward. You know, my goodness. So, you know, it is better for us to keep our hearts from pride and arrogance. Keep your mouth from being froward and just speaking things anyhow. Now, let's read some more here in Proverbs chapter 26 and verse 12. Proverbs 26 verse 12. Another lesson here. You know, seest thou a man that is wise in his own conceit? I mean, this is somebody that's arrogant, that is full of themselves, that thinks of himself more than he should. Well, there is more hope of a fool than of him. You know, so, I mean, God thinks of such a person as even worse than a fool. A person who, you know, is conceited in their hearts, thinks that they are better than they really are. You know, there is more hope of a fool than of him. Wow. You know, what about Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 23? Proverbs 29 and verse 23. Again, this is a Bible study, and so we read many verses. You know, many, many verses. A man's pride shall bring him low. Huh? Together, a man's pride shall bring him low. But honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. So on the one hand, pride will bring the person down from the top of the mountain. You know, but humility will give a people advancement. Praise the, a person advancement. You know, so there are many things to learn from these things. Let's take them to heart. And then going quickly through, you know, I see many, we got, you know, many stories. We already covered the story of Nebuchadnezzar, the pride that was in his heart in Daniel chapter 4. The pride of his heart, thinking that by his own power, by his own might, by his own wisdom, by his own excellence, he got all those things. But the Lord showed him. That's right. And anyone that falls into the same error today, we have these things in the scriptures, you know, for our examples. But if people still fall into the same error today, then they have themselves to blame, you know. So let's read Isaiah 13 and verse 11. God's talking about punishing the arrogancy of the proud, you know. And I will punish the world for their evil and the wicked for their iniquity. And I cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease and lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. So God is again calling out arrogancy and pride of heart. And say, I will punish it and I will cause it to cease. Praise the Lord. Now, let's read Jeremiah 9:23. Instead of glorying in our successes without giving glory to God, well, the way that God commands us to glory is what Jeremiah would talk about here. Praise the Lord. He said, thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might, like Nebuchadnezzar. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. But what should they do? Well, for him that glorieth, let him glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things do I delight, saith the Lord. You know, so, don't glory in your wisdom. Don't glory in your might or in your strength or your accomplishments. But glory in the Lord, that by his grace he has taught you his ways, that you may know him, that he is a God of loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness. Praise the Lord. Now, let's read in the book. Let's go now to some of the lessons of Jesus himself, the master, talking to us even about pride. In the story, the lesson, or what do you call it? The Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5, verses 3 and 5, Jesus calls out the blessings and the rewards for humility. You know, and many of us read these things, but we don't really think about it. In fact, when I was a young man, I learned this Sermon on the Mount, this Beatitudes, we called it back then. And, you know, one of the things that struck out to me was how when Jesus started this, he started with the poor in spirit. You know, this means, you know, somebody that does not think that they have it together, but looking onto the Lord. You know, that's what poor in spirit means. They don't think they have it together. You know, they think that, oh, I am nothing, but God can help me. You know, so they're looking for God's help. Now, blessed are the poor in spirit. That's how he started. But theirs is a kingdom of heaven. And then verse 5 says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Now, these two things are the same. Poor in spirit and meek. You know, they will inherit the earth, the kingdom of heaven. When God reestablishes the kingdom of heaven upon the earth, these people will be the ones that will inherit it. Praise the Lord. So there, we see there are blessings there, even from the mouth of the master himself, talking about the rewards. Jesus also instructed people in Matthew 11 from verses 28, 29, 30, and so forth. But verse 29 particularly, you know, this was where Jesus said, look, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, come unto me, you know, and I will give you rest and so on. But let's pay particular attention to verse 29, Matthew 11 and 29. This is what it says. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And Jesus is saying, look, if you're trying to be meek and you're trying to be lowly and you don't know where to look, how to get example and how to learn how to be like that, well, look unto me, he said. I'll show you how. You know, and then, well, we look at the life of Jesus. You can see his meekness and his lowliness. He never came out bragging that he's God or anything like that. You know, no. For the most part, he just called himself Son of Man. You know, and he just went about his thing. He knew who he was. He knew his mission. He knew the work he had to do. But he didn't brandish that or put something on his head and all of those. In fact, Jesus looked, he dressed, he talked, he looked just like his disciples. He did not, you know, appear to be different. In fact, when the chief priests and magistrates and all of these people were looking to crucify him, it took Judas to identify him. Judas said to them, well, they said to Judas, well, how are we going to know him? He said, well, don't worry about it. You know, I will, you know, the one that I kiss on the cheek, that will be my sign. You will know that that's the one. Well, why was it difficult for them to know who he was or spot him from afar off? Well, because he dressed just like them. He looked just like them. He did not make himself to be anything different. You know, so it took an insider that would show that that's Jesus. Well, that's not the same that we have today. Today, our spiritual or religious leaders are well known, even by their appearance, the way they carry and conduct themselves, where they sit when you are at the church service, how they do, the entrance they make, and all these things. You know, it's easy to tell who the supposed religious leader is. And it wasn't the case in the time of Jesus. The outsiders couldn't tell. You know, Jesus blended in just with the rest of his disciples, and, you know, took Judas to betray him and say, this is the one, you know, and he had to go up there, kiss him on the cheek and say, this is the one. Well, that clearly tells us how Jesus blended in. Now, Jesus say, well, if you want to learn how to be meek and how to be lowly, take a good look at me. I am meek and lowly, and he invites us to study his own life. Now, let's read a few other things that Jesus would say, and the writers of the Gospels, they called it out in a couple different places. Let's look at what Jesus would say about, you know, you know, other ways, you know, Matthew 23 and verse 12, you know, how Jesus called out, you know, some of these, you know, things, you know, like, the behavior and so forth. People want to, you know, exalt themselves. You know, he was talking here. He said, look, you know, let me start it from, verse 10. Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. You know, don't try to be above everybody else. You won't, you know. Many people don't even care that this scripture is in the Bible. You know, so, but he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. That's right. You know, in this particular place, he's not even saying that in order to be great, you will need to serve. He's saying that if you are great already, then serve the people. You know, there's other scriptures that says, well, for you to be great, you need to serve. But this one is point blank saying, if you are the greatest, then serve the people. So what does that mean? Well, in a ministry, in a local assembly, the greatest. Well, let's say maybe he's the pastor or senior pastor or whomsoever, you know, or whatsoever his title might be. He should be the one to serve the people. And is that the case that we see today? Absolutely not. In fact, when we have, you know, apostles, prophets, and all these people, you know, gather themselves together on platforms such as this, you know, if, you know, there's some good ones that in their heart it is to serve the people. That's, you know, what they do it to serve the people. Others are there to make merchandise of the people and to be exalted. You know, but Jesus said, look, if you think of yourself to be the greatest, and if people say you are the greatest among the people, then you better be the servant and serve the people, which sometimes we call servant leadership. And whosoever shall exalt himself, Jesus said, shall be abased. Nebuchadnezzar said that finally. He said, look, God is able to look to everyone that is proud and bring him down. And in fact, one time God was challenging Job and said, look, you think you got some smarts? Because Job finally said, well, gee, I don't know why all these things happened to me. And Lord said, can you look to everyone that is proud and bring them down? Can you do it? You know, God is the one that can do that. Everyone that is proud and exalts himself, Jesus said, they shall be abased. And everyone that humbles himself shall be exalted. Now, that's a tremendous lesson. You know, in fact, Jesus, you know, he also gave an illustration, which is also in, you know, in the book of Proverbs, you know, give an illustration and say, look, when they invite you to a party, an event, you know, don't go and sit at the highest place, you know, because you may do that and a more honorable person may come and then they may depose you of that place and say, you know, go sit down a little bit lower. You know, Luke chapter 14 verse 7 says, you know, when you are invited, start out by sitting down at the lower, or the lowest is actually how Luke records it. Start out by sitting at the lowest place. Don't go and take the most reserved room. And why was Jesus saying that? Because he went to a place where there was a feast or wedding or something, you know, that was going on. And he saw how they, when they came in, they were looking for the chief rooms, you know, the nice seats, the ones that say reserved, and this and this and that, you know, and the people went and sat in those places. They, you know, and Jesus was looking at them, said, wow. So he put this thing out. He said, look, when thou art bidding of any man to a wedding, do not sit in the highest room, lest a more honorable man than thou be bidden of him, and he that bid thee and him come and say to thee, give this man place, and thou begin with shame to take the lowest room. So Jesus is giving us, this is a practical lesson. This is nothing religious, just practical, just saying it. You know, say, look, but when you come to the place where you've been bidden, go and sit down in the lowest room. You know, don't just make yourself of nothing. Just go and take the lowest place. Now, if it turns out that the person that invited you wants to bring you higher, then Jesus said, well, when it comes, he tells you, go up higher. Then thou shalt have worship. Everybody say, wow, they brought you to the high table, you know, and they clap for you and everything. Jesus said, that's good. That's better than for you to be disgraced. If you put yourself out in the big place and they put you down, then you'll be disgraced. If you put yourself in the little room and then they bring you up, then you will be, you know, honored in the presence of everybody. For whomsoever, this is Luke 14:11, same thing as he was saying in Matthew 23:12. Whosoever should exalt himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Jesus just gave a practical story there to buttress the point. But this thing carries throughout all aspects of life. You know, there is a story that Jesus told in Luke chapter 18. You know, we're going through the lessons of Jesus now on this subject. In Luke chapter 18, you know, from verses 9 through about 14, Jesus, you know, revealed, you know, some other lessons and instructions and teachings about this. He said, look, and he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Now, this is arrogancy, that spiritual arrogancy. When you think, hey, I got it, and others don't have it. Well, okay, that's arrogancy. And you think you're better than them. You know, I understand the scriptures better than them. I understand the mysteries better than them. You know, I am a better prayer warrior. I'm a better soul winner. I'm a better teacher. I'm a better speaker. I can prophesy better than everybody else. I can see more visions. You know, anytime you think any of these things in your heart, you know, that you are better than others. Well, Jesus told this story. Two men went up to pray in the temple. The one was a Pharisee and the other was a publican. Now, publicans were looked down upon because they were called tax collectors and different things. And the people just called them sinners because they exacted more from the people than was necessary, you know, and so on. And, you know, to fill their own pockets. So people didn't, you know, care too much for them. So, but the Pharisees, they were the religious group of the day, carried themselves like that and so forth. So Jesus said, well, this Pharisee and this publican went to pray. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. He prayed with himself. Notice, that's how he prayed. God, I thank you that I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, even as this publican over here. You know, I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess and so on. And, you know, he just bragged about himself. Well, some of us have been guilty of saying things like that, you know, because, you know, through the grace and mercy of God, I remember many years ago when we were first coming into what we call then the end time message. And those who were coming into the end time message, they were filled with pride in their hearts. We are better than those people. Those people are bunch. We used to call them bunch. So them bunch, you know, I mean, Jesus said, come out of them. Come out of her, my people. So you come out of them, which all right, and then but you have this pride in your heart, better than the rest of them. You think you are the cream of the crop, and these people are a bunch, and they're going, you know, through the great tribulation, but you are the ones, you are the elect, you are the great one, you are the bride, you are the this, you are the that. And he said, look, don't begin to say you are children of Abraham, but then you don't do the works of Abraham. God is able of these stones raise up children to Abraham. And so this man, he was bragging about all his achievements, Remember, Jesus didn't even regard his prayer. Jesus said he prayed with himself. You know, so right off the bat, you know, this prayer was going nowhere. You know, now, the publican, on the other hand, standing afar off, would not even so much as lift up his eyes unto heaven, but he smote within his breast, saying, God, be merciful unto me, a sinner. And Jesus would now summarize that parable. He said, I tell you, this man, this publican, this one that everybody calls a sinner, but because he humbled himself in prayer, this was a poor in spirit. You know, he said, this man went to his house justified, more so than the other, you know, for everyone that exalted himself shall be abased, and he that humbled himself shall be exalted. So same thing again, but yeah, it's spiritual pride that Jesus calling out here. On the other hand, it was social pride. Social pride is when you think you're better than everybody else, you go and sit in a high place in a party, you know, and so on. That was social pride. This one is religious pride or spiritual pride. Even in spiritual things, when in your heart you think you are better than anybody, everybody else, you think you are the one, you know, you're the one, you are the prophet, you are the one, you know, that the Lord speaks to and so forth. You know, I heard somebody say that, you know, the Lord talks to him, the headstone talks to him, this and this and that, and everybody else, you know, he's the one that, you know, and even one time he said the Lord gave him the syllabus. Oh my goodness, I'm just laughing. You know, he said the Lord gave him his syllabus. He has the plan and everything. And you know, it's who make it thyself? Who do you make yourself? Who are you? Who do you think you are? You know, you are really nothing at all. You know, don't brag of anything. There's nothing you have that God didn't give you. And if God gave it to you, there's no reason for you to brag. Listen to this in 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 2. If any man thinks, you know, that he knows anything, he knows not yet, you know, anything as he ought to do. You know, and some people, look, we think we know. Knowledge puffs up, he's saying here. Knowledge puffs up, but charity edifieth. You know, these are even things, you know, some people are so knowledgeable in spiritual things, in the deep things of the spirit. They know, you know, inside out many things, you know, so forth. And it brings pride into the heart. You know, it brings pride. You think, oh, I know the Lord. I understand, you know. I even heard someone one time, they have a litmus test in their mind. Their litmus test is, well, you know, these people do not understand the revelation of the Godhead or this and that, you know, therefore they are nowhere to be found. You know, they don't understand anything, you know, just discount them and so on. You know, spiritual pride coming in so many ways. There is no revelation that you have that you did not receive. And, you know, if it is, you know, that if you did indeed receive it, you know, then why can you boast? You know, remember, the scripture asks us a question. What is it that you have, you know, that you have not received? And if you did not, I mean, if you received it, well, then why are you bragging as if you did not receive it, as if it came from, I mean, as if you are the source. I mean, sometimes we just think like that and we forget that it is the Lord that gave us anything we have. You're not better than anybody. Let's read how Apostle Paul puts it in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. You know, we read it from maybe around verse 7 or so. He said, look, you know, who maketh thee to differ from another? You know, who or what? You know, what is it that you have not received? And if you have received it, why then do you glory as if you did not receive it? You know, that's what he's saying. There's nothing that, look, there's nothing you know that God didn't give you. And if it is God that gave you, what makes you better than the person that doesn't know that thing? Nothing. It's God gave it to you. You know, so You know, spiritual pride can set in so many ways. You know, people got to go to certain denominations. They think their own church is better than others. Yes, you know, that's religious pride. I don't even know if it's spiritual, but let's just call it religious, you know. So, you know, people just, you think so many things. And this element of pride can manifest itself in so many different ways. And that's what we are calling out in this lesson today. There are also blessings and rewards of humility, as we have been seeing along the way. Let me read quickly a few more verses here. I look up at time. I see that time is going. Let me cover a few more things here. Now, John the Baptist, when he was introducing Christ, here's what he said in John 3 and verse 30. You know, because, you know, some people were saying, well, you know, this people were actually leaving from John and going to Christ. And so some of John's disciples wondered, hey, people are going from you to him. And say, yeah, that's cool. You know, I'm here to testify of him, and he must increase and I must decrease. John 3 and verse 30. Now, that's amazing that John would say that. He must increase and I must decrease. You know, my ministry is here to introduce him. And as he begins to appear on the scene, I need to go into the background and let the spotlight be on him rather than me. Huh. Well, you know, I wish we'd have that kind of mind in our spiritual or religious leaders today, you know, that they would have that kind of mind, you know, to promote the Christ and they themselves diminish while promoting Christ. And that would be a great thing, wouldn't it be? You know, so that's how John the Baptist, you know, thought of himself. Well, let's read a few more things here quickly. In the book of Romans, chapter 12, in this chapter, Paul is dealing with, you know, many aspects, you know, how we deal with many aspects in this, our spiritual walk, Christian living, so-called, you know. Verse 3 of Romans 12. For I say unto you, through the grace that's given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Well, why do people think more highly of themselves than they ought? Spiritual pride and arrogance. You know, in fact, arrogance and schism in the body when somebody thinks they're better. Somebody, because they are a prophet, they think they're better than everybody else. You know, I'm a prophet. Somebody told me one time, I'm a prophet. You are just a pastor. And I am above you. He told me. You know, I said, well, really? Yeah. You know, so for real? He said, yeah. So, you know, he's above because he's a prophet. Now everybody else is below him. You know, and somebody even one time went as far as, I mean, crazy stuff that's in the head of people. You know, they went as far as saying that I heard this, you know, either I heard it in saying or I read it somewhere. I don't know. I forget. But somebody actually thought that prophets were the greatest thing in the world, even greater than God. I heard somebody one time say that, well, Moses was a prophet, you know, and he corrected God. You know, he said, well, God was going to destroy, you know, Israel. So Moses, as a prophet, he corrected him. You know, I mean, this is how delusionary people can be. You know, I mean, it's this person, you know, trying to justify his office as a prophet, thinking that he's better than everybody else, even thinking that he's better than God, giving the people an example of how Moses, as a prophet, corrected God. Corrected? Whereas the scripture says, who has been his instructor, who's been the mind of the Lord? Okay, so you can't do it. Moses stood in the gap for the people. Not correct anything, you know. And in fact, you know, if you don't think that the Lord knew that Moses was going to do that even before Moses did it, you know, then we don't know anything about God at all. You know, there is no, God allows things to play out in the human realm, but in his, you know, divine mind, cosmic knowledge of the Lord, he already knows everything, you know. So, but anyway, you know, that's how things can enter into people's heart. But talking about Moses, let me digress a little bit and tell you something here. You know, how pride, you know, we were talking the other day, you know, when Moses, you know, did not sanctify the word of the Lord. And, you know, he began to say, shall we bring water out of this rock for you? Who? You? No, it's God that did it, not you. You know, in a moment of anger and so forth, he allowed some pride to set in. And, you know, the Lord said, well, yeah, among many things, you did not sanctify my word and so forth. But let me read to you something else that, you know, was very subtle in something that Moses said. And the measure that you meet is what will be measured unto you. I'm going to read to you and say something to you today. If you've never considered it, listen carefully to me for the next 2 minutes while I bring this up. In the book of Deuteronomy, you know, chapter 18 and verse 15. Let me say something to you. This is the way, this is the prophecy that Moses gave about the Christ, so to speak. Now, you know, you can look at it in the short term or long term. There are many scriptures in the Bible that are dual, they have a dual prophetic nature. God may be speaking something now that also has a dual prophetic nature for the future. So he said something here, and this was referred to later on in the scriptures that he was talking to Christ. He said, the Lord God will raise unto thee a prophet, and he put a capital P on it, from the midst of thee, of thy brethren. You know, but look at how he said it, like unto me. Really? For real? And if this was Christ that he was talking about, and if this was prophecy about Christ, like unto you, really? Okay, well, let me put it to you this way. You know, he said, if you measure yourself up to the Christ and say, well, the Christ will come and be like unto you, then there will be zero tolerance. Because now you got to be perfect like the Christ. Now, if you say the Lord's going to raise up a prophet like me, talking about Christ prophetically, well, okay, fine. If you want to be like that, then zero tolerance. Ladies and gentlemen, zero tolerance. You cannot but be perfect now if you think of yourself that way. You screw up in one place, you're out. And he was out. You know? Yeah. Because, you know, you cannot, look, you measure yourself against the Christ, like unto you, my goodness. You know, some people say, well, you know, that's not what he was talking about. Yeah, maybe that's what he was talking about. But you see what happened to him, you know. So let's, you know, let's be careful. You know, no matter how close we're getting to God, no matter how, you know, we are being transformed, and eventually we'll be transfigured and become like the Christ. But in the process, if pride gets in the way, you might just, you know, get derailed off the track. It's a very serious thing. You know, pride got in the way of Lucifer. He lost everything. Fell from heaven. Pride might get in the way along the way, and people might just miss it. There's something that the Lord will do at the end. And someday, soon, the Lord's beginning to inspire me that it's soon, you know, I'm going to get into the transfiguration and transformation and transfiguration series, where we're being transformed gradually, and one day we're completely transfigured into light. And then you'll be gone. Now, it's coming. But if along the way we allow pride to set in, same thing like Lucifer and all these people, you know, Nebuchadnezzar and anyone that's proud in heart. Asa, he was a great man, a great king and everything. But one day pride entered into his heart you know, he did something wrong by not trusting the Lord and leaning upon man, that would not have been so bad. All you have to do is, oh, Lord, I'm sorry. Actually, what was I thinking? You know, you did it for me last time. What was I thinking? Ah, let me quickly go back to the Lord. That's all he had to say, but he didn't. You know, and the word of correction came from the young prophet. He was angry with the prophet and threw him in prison. You know, and from that point on, his life just spiraled down into the drain. He lost his senses. I mean, he just lost everything. He couldn't think straight. He started to oppress his own people. Various things started to happen to him. And at the end of it, Lord, he wouldn't even turn to the Lord for anything. You're sick, you turn to somebody else rather than the Lord and everything. And he, at the end of the days, he had a disease that he couldn't even recover from. He died like a fool, finally, you know. Bible say Abner died like a fool. You know, Asa died like a fool. You know, at the end, instead of crying to the Lord, pride entered into his heart. You know, people start out great with the Lord. He started out, the scripture says, having begun in the spirit, will you not be made perfect in the flesh? Well, he started in the spirit, cut down the groves, deposed his queen mother, and he trashed her idol, did all these things, cleaned up the land, and so forth. Serve the Lord in quietness. And then one day, pride entered into his heart. You know, so this thing is a very, very serious thing. You know, to the extent that even a man like Moses, whom God has spoken to face to face, you know, pride could enter into his heart. He might miss it, you know, because he said, well, are we now going to bring water out of this rock for you? You? That was God, not you. All you have to do is just speak his word and be his servant. So these things are there for us to learn from. Now, let me quickly read through the rest of this. I want to finish this up. We're in Romans 12:3. I want to read also verse 16 of the same. Where am I now? Okay, back to Romans chapter 12, and I want to read verse 16, you know, of that. He says, look, instead of being high-minded, you know, be of a low mind, you know, be of the same mind one to another. Do, you know, don't mind high things, but lower yourself to people even of lower estate. Do not be wise in your own conceits. And so many warnings about these things. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 3. Let me just go through this very, very quickly. Galatians 6 and verse 3. If a man think of himself to be something when he is nothing, or if he thinks of himself more highly than he is, same thing we read in Romans, then he deceiveth himself. You know, and if you deceive yourself, then great is that deception. All right. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 2. How quickly can I get through this? Ephesians 4 and verse 2. All right. Here we go. You know, you are called, the Bible says here that we are called to walk worthy. I mean, God expects us to walk worthy of the vocation wherein we are called, with all lowliness and meekness. You know, forbearing one another and so forth, endeavoring to keep the unity of the spirit, lowliness and meekness, you know. And, you know, if somebody does something to you, so what? You know, if you are meek and you are lowly like the Christ, the Bible said, well, as a, you know, lamb, he opened not his mouth, he dumb, you know, before his sharers. I mean, Jesus, when he reviled not again. You know, but if somebody does something to you and you overreact and so on, it may be pride, you know, because you're still allowing your flesh to be hurt. When your flesh is hurt, you're still prideful. Your flesh is still living. You got to put that flesh on the altar, you know, to the point where, yeah, you, no matter what they do, you, what do you do to the dead? Dead can't feel anything. If you are died with Christ on the cross, then you won't feel anything that people say to you. or do to you. But if you still feel it and you get all riled up and so forth, then it wound up, then it's probably because the flesh is still very much alive. And it's pride and arrogancy that causes that. Philippians chapter 2, you know, we have read about Christ, the humility and how God highly exalted him. You know, we can learn from that as well. Christ made himself of no reputation. Philippians 2, you know, verses 3 to 9. Don't do anything through vainglory or through strife or anything, but rather let this kind of mind be in you that was in Christ. And he went through all of that. We've read that before. And what God did for him, how he mightily promoted him, made him to have a name that is above every name because of his humility. Hallelujah. Now, Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. Put on, therefore, as elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness and long-suffering, forbearing one another, and so forth. So meekness and humbleness and humility and remember, meekness is also part of the fruit of the Spirit. And God is calling us to be meek, you know, lowly, teachable, easy to be entreated, and all of these things. Don't be arrogant, don't be stubborn, and so forth. James chapter 4, let's read verses, 6. James chapter 4, where am I? Lost my bearing here. Okay, James chapter 4, verses 6 and 10. I want to quickly read. Praise the Lord. Now, James was a man also that, you know, had wisdom. And he, you know, he wrote to many things, wisdom, kind of like Proverbs and so forth. You know, but let's see what he would say here. He said, God gives more grace. You know, God says, look, he resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Now, the last thing we want is for God to resist us. If God is resisting your prayer, that's a dangerous place to be. That you're not getting anywhere if God actually resists you. So that will not be our portion. In Jesus' name. But the people that will be resisted are the people that are proud. Humble yourselves, therefore, in the sight of the Lord, verse 10, and he shall lift you up. Praise the Lord. If you humble yourself, he will lift you up. Praise God. Let's read quickly 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 5. You know, 1 Peter chapter 5, just showing all the different places throughout the scriptures where these arrogances, pride, and humility are called out. The one set for the evil and the other set for the good. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject to one another and be clothed with humility. Now, there are some young people that don't even respect their elders anymore. You know, the Bible is telling you, respect your elders. I thank God that I grew up in a culture where that is the case. People will respect their elders. Where I grew up from, you know, they don't have to be Christians. They will just respect you anyway. The moment they see that you're an elderly person, everybody's calling you daddy, mommy, this and that, you know, you'll just be respectful. You know, so this is important for us. We cannot now say we are believers and we no longer respect our elders. Respect your elders. What are you saying here? So meet even yourself to them and so forth. Help your elders. Give them honor and so forth. And this is what the Bible says. Now, he says, you know, also again, the same thing. You know, he's saying here, yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility, for God resisted the proud and gives grace to the humble. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. I mean, how many times is God going to tell us that? You know, it's all over the scriptures. You know, let me read 1 John chapter 2, talking about the proud, you know, the pride of life and so on and so forth. love not the world. Let's read it from 1 John 2 and 15. And then we'll focus a little bit on verse 16. You know, 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15. I'm going to try to end this in the next minute or two. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, then the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. The pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. There are many things, you know, that the Lord hates. Praise God. You know, these are seven things that the Lord hates. You know, we are told that, you know, a proud look is one of them. Let's read quickly and I will end here. Proverbs chapter 6. Let's read from verse 16 or so and just see, you know, what, you know, how God looks upon this pride thing. He hates it. He really hates it. And when we have these things in our hearts, the Lord is actually says that they are an abomination unto him. Proverbs 6 verse 16. These things, six things that the Lord hate, and yea, these seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look. You see that that's even the first one that's called out. A proud look. A lying tongue. Hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that devised wicked imaginations. Feet that run swift into doing mischief. A false witness. And he that soweth discord among brethren. But it starts out with a proud look. So ladies and gentlemen, that's our lesson today. On, you know, I rushed it at the end. Tomorrow we'll do a round, some more roundup. But I wanted to give all these scriptures today as you meditate on it. You know, this was a lesson on pride and arrogancy, you know, versus, on the other hand, humility and lowliness. Isaiah 66 and verse 2. This is the man to whom I will look, saith the Lord. He that is of a contrite spirit, lowly and meek, and trembles at my word. He is the one to whom I will look. If we humble ourselves, we are told the Lord will promote us. But if we try to exalt ourselves, then the Lord will bring us down. Praise the Lord. I'm going to pray and then yield it for discussions. Father, I thank you, Lord, for the word of God that we have heard, read today and listened to concerning the subject of pride and arrogancy being the first thing that entered into the world from Lucifer. And today, Holy Spirit is cautioning us, be careful. Father, we pray that you will help us to guard our hearts against pride and arrogancy and guard our posture against a proud look. And, you know, thinking that we're better than others and even religious pride and all these things. Help us, Lord, to walk in humility, even as Christ did. And that we may receive the same rewards of promotion from the Lord, like God did for the Christ. We thank you, Lord, and we give you the praise and give you the glory. You know, pride and arrogancy, an abomination to the Lord. And he that is proud in his heart, though hand join in hand, shall not go unpunished. But to the humble and to the lowly, God will help them, show them his way, and he will lift them up. Thank you, Father. We give you praise and give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.